Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Your trainer, Melanie Cole, is here to motivate and help you perform. It's time now for Train Your Body.
What do you think is the one piece of workout gear you really, really can't live without? Is it your iPod? Is it your water bottle? Well, in my world, it is my shoes. They are your base of support, your most important. You can do without almost any of those other things. If your feet, and until your feet ever bother you, you do not realize the importance of your feet until they do bother you. And it's hard to even empathize with somebody who has bad feet unless you've ever had the problem yourself. And workout shoes are absolutely essential. My guest is Dr. Jeffrey Ross. He's a doctor of podiatric medicine and surgery, and he's the Medical Center for Foot Specialists. Now, so Dr. Ross, tell us about workout shoes. There's so many on the market, it's nearly dizzying now. Which ones should we be choosing for which activity that we do?
Well, Melanie, I just want to say thank you for at least beginning the conversation off with the most important statement, and that is your feet are the foundation for the rest of your body. I mean, that's what everything works from biomechanically. Your stance position, your alignment of your lower extremity, that's what determines whether or not somebody is going to develop an overuse injury. So shoe selection is very important. And you're right, there are so many more shoes now out there than ever. I mean, when I was a kid, there were PF Flyers and Keds. That was it. That's all we had to choose from. Then came the Converse All-Stars, and that's all we had. Then came the Nikes. Then came the Adidas running shoes back in the 60s and early 70s. And so then came the load of other running shoe companies, from New Balance to Etonic to Asics to Brooks, and then came the explosion later in the last few years to the minimalist shoes, to the Vibrams, the Newtons, and every shoe company now has a minimalist shoe. We have cross trainers, we have aerobic shoes, we have walking shoes. So, and of course, we've got all the specialty shoes, from basketball to tennis to every kind of sport imaginable. So the choices are endless.
How do you choose? I mean, as you say, the cross trainers. Now, me, myself, and I recommend even to my walking people, running shoes, because I feel like they are technologically the most supportive, and that walking shoes haven't come up to snuff yet. You know, that running shoes really give you the most support. Am I wrong? For me, that's the only thing I can wear are my Brooks or my Saucony's.
Well, I'm one that believes in the same thing you just said, and that is that the running shoe still, I think, is, I wouldn't say light years, used to be light years, but still way ahead of the curve than the walking shoe. The walking shoes, I feel, are a little stiffer. They're made typically of leather with a lot of stitch work. And I like my running shoes because they have more of the gentle materials that are built into it. The mesh, the leather is softer. The running shoes also have a stronger support for what we call sagittal plane motion. That's forward motion, as in running or walking, whereas court shoe has more stability for lateral motion, like a tennis shoe or court shoe. The walking shoe does have a little more stability for lateral motion, but for the most part, I'm a firm believer in the running shoe for the walk exercise program.
Now, so what about weight training?
Well, weight training, I think that's where a cross trainer would really come in, because the cross trainer is designed like a running shoe slash court shoe. So it gives you that lateral stability if you're going to be doing, let's say, lifting free weights, or if you're going to be on mats or any other surface where your foot may slip and move to the side. You want that lateral stability. A running shoe would not be the perfect shoe in that particular scenario. But the cross trainer is probably one of your best bets, because you can literally go from an aerobics class 1 minute or running or walking around an indoor track and go to do your weight training, and that way you don't have to change shoes.
So that's a good cross-training shoes. I'm going to try and stump you on a few of these here, Dr. Ross. Golf shoes, because I feel like golf shoes are the worst.
Well, you know, in the old days, back when I was a kid growing up and my mother got me into golf, we used to have to wear these Oxfords, these tie shoes, these wingtips. I mean, they were beautiful looking shoes, but they were really not all that comfortable for having to play the game of golf.
On now, an uneven surface, where sometimes walking and standing on uneven, bumpy surfaces.
Well, but we had the pegs, we had the spikes built into the shoes, so that gave you some stability. But for the most part, if a spike caught a wrong way and your foot slipped, you could wrench an ankle, wrench a foot. Today we have all kinds of golf shoes that are designed like, I would say, a walk exercise shoe, but with the stability and the dynamics of a golf shoe, like a FootJoy, for instance, would be that kind of golf shoe that I particularly like, and has the treads or has the little spikes that can still be used in those types of shoes. But they're softer, they're more pliable, they are sturdy, they are supportive, and they'll be a lot better for you, obviously, when you're doing that follow-through swing trying to address the ball.
Okay, so now what about those toning shoes with the rounded bottom?
Ah, well, that's
Are they really toning my tush if I use them?
Well, if you go back, when I was in college, we used to call those the earth shoes, and they had a sort of rocker bottom to it and a negative heel. So the toner shoes, I won't particularly get into names of brands or anything, but the concept of the rocker bottom or the toning shoe was if we used the negative heel, it would stretch out the gastrocnemius soleus muscle, which is our calf muscle. So you saw all that advertisement looking at toning the calf muscles, or if you just walked with these shoes, your calves will look great, or your butt will look great. Well, certain truth to that element, yes, you are stretching out the gastrocnemius soleus, and you are working the hamstrings and the gluteals, but I think there was a lot more fluff than there was stuff with the advertisement. But still a good type of shoe if you're looking for, quote, exercising the posterior muscle groups of your legs.
Okay, and as we said, the base of support, I mean, can contribute, if your base is off, knee problems, moving up the body, hip problems, lower back problems, it doesn't end because everything is connected to that base. What about the people that are, as you say, the minimalist shoes now? Are these things damaging joints? Are they helping? I mean, minimalists will have you believe that they're the best things since running in bare feet.
Well, let's just go back to your statement about foundation and shoes and how overuse injuries can occur. So you could have, let's say, a overuse injury, a knee injury, or a plantar fasciitis, heel pain, chronic posterior tibial tendonitis, shin splints, due to excessive pronation. So the idea in this particular scenario is, I need to get a stability shoe or a motion control shoe, or I need to get at least a temporary insole in that shoe to support my arch and prevent excessive pronation. Well, that leads into what you just asked about the minimalist shoes. So minimalist shoes are great for those people that have great biomechanics, they have good stability, and the ability to flex and extend the ankle, the Achilles, and the forefoot. Because what happens with a minimalist shoe is it pushes you, forces you into a mid-stance strike and a forefoot propulsion, whereas the traditional type of shoe will try to initiate a heel contact. So it's a little bit different in the terms of the biomechanics and the dynamics of your gait in terms of where you strike and when you will push off the ground. Minimalist shoes are great for those people that can withstand those forces, that have the flexibility, that have the stability, and don't have previous injury or medical issues, conditions like diabetes or poor circulation.
That's a very important point because, you know, then you're saying that they're okay, but not for everybody. 20 seconds, Dr. Ross. Best advice for shoes?
Well, use a good shoe store that's a specialty shoe store where fitters are either runners or exercisers themselves, know how to fit properly, and can make the right recommendations based upon your foot type and your biomechanics.
Thank you so much. You're listening to Train Your Body right here on Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.